Welcome to the Two Mutts Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall.
Rick White, here's Radulov with a chance. Scores! One-timer, scores! Yunus Gurriel! Perry scores! Corey Perry!
Here's Drysdale again, turns, shoots, scores!
Austin Matthews in, shoots, scores! Austin Matthews!
Schultz ahead, Crosby onside, behind the fence, toward the net, he scores! Back across, fired, score! Crosby again!
Taves with a shot, he scores! Taves shoots it for the score! Jonathan Taves ties it!
Look at that! Are you watching this? What a brilliant piece of work from Connor McDavid!
Wow.
Welcome back to the Two Mutts Podcast presented by freebars.ca. I am your host, Joshua Marshall, and with my other co-hosts, Clay Vanderham. Vandy, how's it going?
Vandy is dandy. Attended my first youth hockey game with fans in, I guess it'd be over a year tonight. Wow. So a friend of ours, he's got ice for the summer, and we went out for a skate, and there were parents cheering for saves, booing for penalties, and it was unbelievable. We had refs. It was, aside from wearing a mask, you felt normal.
That's good.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Sad that that's awesome, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Rupper's kid lit it up, but whatever.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and the other voice you hear?
He's from St. Albert, right?
Of course, buddy. Soon to be St. Albert. Which Rupper? Little Rupper or big Rupper?
Luke did, yeah.
Yeah, he can shoot the puck, eh? Holy.
And crazy. The other co-host we have is Brody McIntyre. Brodes, how's it going?
I with Clay on this one. I was actually on the ice today for the first time in however long doing Sports Academy with the kids. And we went to, usually Sports Academy that we were on however long ago, we weren't allowed to do anything. Everybody had to be separated and just stations. And there's no restrictions. So we literally did one warm-up drill, put the pucks in the net, and let the kids play a game.
Yes!
And I sat in the penalty box and just kept score. And it was awesome. And the kids, you know what? The kids were smiling ear to ear. I was smiling ear. It was awesome. It was a nice change. You're just sad that that was, it felt so good. And the kids were
awesome.
The kids were buzzing but rusty. But it was awesome. It was a great day.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
You, that's Bosco, good. What's new?
Yeah, just work. Just another day, another dollar. Just poured 1,130 meters of concrete today here in Kitimat, BC. So, yeah, we started at 7 in the morning and finished 7 at night. So, yeah.
We're in your half jersey?
Yeah, no. I had to post it. I hope everyone has a little laugh at that. But you lose the bet. You got to be be a man and own it up as much as you hate wearing it. I actually had a good laugh. I was able to lead our toolbox stretch and with that, and everyone had a good laugh. There's this other guy I work with. His name's Joshua too. And he just kind of was just making some good jokes. He's like, why are you wearing it? He didn't understand it. And just the way he would say it was just funny. And I'm just like, man, I'm like, Toronto. He's like, why are you wearing that, Marshall? And I'm like, hey man, like Toronto, you know, They suck and they just didn't do good. And so he goes, he's like, did they get swept? I said, no, even worse. They were up 3-1. They had three chances to close it out and they couldn't. And so it was kind of funny. He's not a big hockey guy, but yeah, I made the bet with my superintendent, Darren, and he's a Habs fan. And so if the Leafs won, he would have done what I had to do, but you know, it is what it is. It's a good joke. Gets the morale. Yeah, it gets the morale around the group.
I love it. You could, yeah.
If it's not my expense, then so be it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it was pretty sweet. So yeah, I can't complain. Things are good here, and playoff hockey continues, and I'll start with the news that is fresh. The Colorado Avalanche are out. Vegas takes care of them in six games. Brody, are you shocked at that?
I'm not shocked. I'm disappointed because I thoroughly enjoy watching Colorado play hockey, man. It's like they're activating D all over the place. They're really fun to watch. I could watch McCarr all day. But no, I'm definitely not shocked. Vegas has so much depth. a little bit bigger, stronger. And they got Fleury in the net. Not surprised.
Yeah, no, exactly. Flower for sure. Yeah, I'm, you know, just a bit shocked on it just because I think, you know, the Colorado D got exposed. In my opinion, I think they you know, as much as say they got exposed, like they missed Kadri too, in my opinion. It's another playoff series that definitely would have been interesting to see what they would have been able to do with Kadri there. But, you know,
I think they said three of the last four.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we
talked playoffs. He's been watching as his team's been eliminated because he's been suspended.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and we have today on the podcast, we have Bob Stauffer from the Edmonton Oilers, and he had touched on that in the interview too that everyone will hear. But yeah, no, it's just another blow to him.
So I didn't notice until tonight, but is Kadri being out of the lineup? Is that why Landeskog went off MacKinnon and Rantanen's line?
Yeah, because they were trying to balance out the line. Okay. Yeah.
And
you know, yes, they're missing Eric Johnson, but Eric Johnson only played four games this year, right? So he wasn't with them a whole chunk of the years, but still that veteran presence comes back to what we talked to in the last podcast where, you know, the top 4D on Colorado under 200 games played, and it shows that probably that matters, you know, and they just got exposed, and they're still a young team. They're going to be better next year, you know, as they keep on getting better. But this is another, you know, dagger for them where they get that first round series, but they can't get past that second round series, you know. So
look at Washington. Look at, you know.
Well, that's what it is. It's good, though.
You can never get past that hump.
Yeah.
Vegas and Colorado are going to meet
all the time
for a long time coming.
100% they will. It'll be you know, and hopefully it's in the conference final with everything going back to normal next year. We'll see if things get back to a normal, which they say they're going to. You know, if that's the case, then, you know, those teams will if they do what they need to do, they would meet in the conference final. Well, this year there is no conference final, so on Monday the Vegas Golden Knights will be hosting the Montreal Canadiens. That is very weird to say that. So, you know, Vandy, throw to you thoughts on this series that we're going to see on Monday night.
I was asked about that today. One of the dads asked me, well, how do you, I don't know. I mean, when you do it just on paper, and we'll probably get into the analytic guys later, but when you do it on paper, you got goalies, let's say they're a wash, top 4D wash, and then you got to look at the depth and what, you know, I think Vegas probably has the edge on forward wise, but I mean that goddamn Montreal team, nobody gave him a shot against the Leafs. Nobody, who would have thunk they would have beat the Jets in four, and here we are, right? Yeah. I mean, we look at the end of the day, on paper, they, at the beginning of the year, they looked like they had a pretty good team with the people they were bringing in and that, but like, I mean, you catch lightning in a bottle in the playoffs and who the hell knows? Yeah. I mean, they could now, that being said, these guys are professionals. I get it, but fans may come into play. You know, Vegas is turning into a tough building to play in. So I don't know. It's going to be fun. I think it's Vegas. Vegas has some unfinished business.
Yeah. So Brody, are you concerned, you know, the time travel in this series? You know, it's a 3-hour time zone for each team when they're going back and forth. Do you think that really kind of bothers you at all?
I think it would. I don't know. I've done it when I go to Vegas, but it might just be liquor speaking, just a 1-hour time change. It's probably the hangover more than the time change, but
yeah,
I imagine 3 hours has got to affect them. But I remember when I played soccer and we did a big time change, and the coach's theory, I mean, things may have changed in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
The theory was you either need to show up and play, or you got to go and get rested and get acclimatized to the time change. And it took, I can't remember, 2 or 3 days which obviously they're not going to have in between games once it gets past game four. So I don't know what they'll do, but I'm assuming they have specialists and theories and all sorts of shit that they can figure out to get their players so they're all ready to go. And it's fair for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not too concerned about it. And to be honest, I don't really care. I just want to watch the hockey.
No, same here. I just thought it'd be interesting. It would could be an interesting storyline. But and the only reason why I say it is because the Canadians did that several times this year, of you know, traveling over west. And, you know, they did the trips to Vancouver. They did the trips to Edmonton and Calgary. And Vegas really kind of stayed in their own time zone. The only time they ever were in a different time zone when they did come to the Central and the Mountain time zone to play Colorado and Minnesota.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know that was even happening. Yeah. Never even did the math on that or anything. Never even thought about it. Didn't know
it said that. They're Pacific right now, right?
Yeah, Vegas. So they were able with the California teams, the three of them were able to, you know, obviously play.
And it would affect the Eastern teams more. I'm not good at math.
No, you would think it would, but I'm just thinking for this year, you know, Montreal has been able to do it a few times of making their trips.
Yeah, that's advantageous for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, like Colorado, Vegas, like I don't know how that's going to react to them. You know, or them going to game three and four in the Eastern time zone. That'll be the first time they've been in the Eastern time zone, you know, in quite some time, you know. So I don't know. It could be nothing. It's just something I thought it was interesting. I noted down and thought I'd ask you guys. So you guys played the game, you know, too. And I don't know if that really makes
a difference. The fact Montreal is in the final four.
You know, it's crazy. Fuck. They talked – well, this is pretty much the – so, was Colorado so obviously that we have a rematch of the Eastern Final, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders. Now Vegas, I believe, was in the Conference Final too last year, right? So that's you know, they're, I think, yeah, because they played Dallas in the Conference Final. So three out of the four teams from last year are here this year.
You're watching it. I mean, you're watching the Stanley Cup favorites year in, year out. Thing I've noticed more than anything, aside from watching good hockey, is how hard it is to get there and how far the teams that we love are, but how close they can be. I mean? If that makes sense.
No, it does. It makes
sense. I mean, they're not that far away from, you know, we could be seeing Colorado versus Edmonton in the conference final, and Colorado just constantly beating, and Edmonton's got to get over that McKinnon hump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Toronto with maybe Tampa. I don't know how that would work, but with Tampa Bay or the Islanders even, where Islanders get over that hump, and now Toronto's got to beat the Isle and the – yeah. Anyway, it's just, God, man, so hard to win this trophy.
Oh, yeah. So, obviously, you know, Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. You know, they made kind of quick work of the Carolina Hurricanes, whatnot. But, you know, the Boston Bruins, we had kind of the prediction here. We all picked the Islanders to win that series over, you know, Jake. Jake didn't get kicked off the podcast because he picked Boston, though. We'll see Jake again here on the 2 months podcast, but you know, we all picked the Islanders recipe for success. They get it done every year. Vandy, you know, thoughts on, you know, them closing out the Boston Bruins in six games.
You've got two key components. One with Montreal, their top line versus their bottom, you know, line one versus line four.
Yeah.
The numbers are the same minute wise during a game. Islanders are the exact same team. You know, the NHL probably doesn't want to see Montreal versus New York Islanders in the final, but I don't know if you're seeing a change in the game, but God, you're seeing depth and the Islanders just, they come at you in waves. And like, I mean, playing the game, fuck, it sucked. When you had every line that you played, when you played a good team and you had constantly guys, the same, almost like
Doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, Battle of the Blades. Battle of the Blades, where you got, you know, all medium-sized guys coming at you, and they're all the same, and you're like, fuck. You can't get anything going. It's frustrating. Yeah. And that's the Islanders and Canadians, if you will, are doing the same. So.
Yeah. Vandy, you know, this series is going to be interesting to watch. I'll get to you in a second here, Rhodes. But, you know, are you more intrigued by the goalie matchup in this series between, you know, the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I don't think there is a matchup. No. Vasilevsky's
on another level.
Yeah. Yeah. Tampa's on another level. But again, they played each other last year, but I mean, you've got a bullet versus that skill, speed. I mean, Tampa can play any game. You want it to go 2-1, we'll play 2-1.
Yeah.
You want it to be a 7-6 shootout, we'll go 7-6.
How fun would that be playing on that team doing that, eh? What do you guys want to do tonight? Oh, yeah, we're in.
I know.
That'd be awesome.
Be right there. So, yeah, I think that, you know, you got two good Russian goaltenders going at it here. And, you know, if Varlamov can't go, they got Sorokin in that too. And he's had a pretty good year too and a pretty good playoffs when he's
I think there. Tampa's got the goalie.
Yeah, they probably do got the goalie matchup. But I think, you know, balance through the lineup and, you know, you got the thing is now Barzell's going. And Eberle scored two in the last few games. So their guns are starting to show. They're doing this without their captain, the Islanders. You know, Brody, talk about, you know, every year, Lou Lamoriello, he's in the mix. He's always there, just constant pro, great general manager. What's your thoughts on this Islanders team? Every year, they're just, you know, we don't really give them enough credit during the regular season, but in the playoffs, they just seem to get it done.
Well, I think there's a reason for that. And his name is Barry Trotz. He is unbelievable. And that's one of the first things Lamoriello did when he came in, right? He went and got Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about him is, well, he's obviously a phenomenal coach. You watch the first series, they sat in the neutral zone. And they just totally trapped and countered, which probably why Barzell was sleepy, right? Sitting in the neutral zone going backwards the whole time is not ideal, but they got through that series. And this series, what did they do? We talked about Boston's lack of depth on the back end. So what do? They do the opposite. They are all over them.
Yeah.
Like, you watched the last game, I missed the first goal. I don't know what it was like, but the next three goals and then the next two were empty netters. But the next three goals were all on insane, insane, insane forechecks where the D just got the puck. Somebody smashed them, took the puck away, and the puck was in the net. 3.5 seconds later.
Yeah.
So he adapts, right? He's smarter. He realizes, okay, here's what we need to do against this team. And they go out and they do it. And the first line does it, like Clay said. Then the fourth line does it. Then the third line does it. Then the first line does it again. Then the second line. And it's just, I watched a lot of it yesterday. It was just the same machine over chip in the corner. One guy goes in, hammers another guy. They go DDD, smashes that guy. Third guy's high end is the forecheck was phenomenal yesterday. Like, phenomenal. So I blame it. I don't blame it all. I'd say it's all on Barry Trotz and getting everybody to buy in. And I think it was Eberle. You see his quote. He says, no matter what player you are, whether you're Barzell, he didn't say Barzell, but the best player or the worst player, he makes you feel wanted. He makes you feel important.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Lot, right?
That's an art, man.
Absolutely.
That to me, you know, and I think we go back to the interviews we've had with some of the guys on the podcast, and they talked about, like, Al Arbor, for instance, Sutter. That's the ultimate player's coach. If you can get that 13th forward to feel like he's, for lack of a better, Matt Barzell contributing or whatever, that number one forward, God.
You're in.
That's unstoppable. And I think that guy in Montreal, Dom, I don't know.
Dom Ducharme, yeah.
There you go. I think he's got that going with Montreal.
And he's handsome, too. Oh,
he is.
He's ever good looking.
He's like you, eh?
That's what Brody was waiting for. That's why he said it.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it. But
I was fishing.
Well, the hair, right? The hair.
Hair's always in place, so. And he's like you with Dandy, but he doesn't like wearing his mask on the bench. So,
yeah. Okay. No need to wear a mask.
So yeah, no, we'll see how that this series will be interesting again. So I'm gonna go Islanders in seven here. That's just, you know, I'm pulling for the Johnny Boychuk thing here. It's it would be kind of cool to him see him, you know, he'll be still part of that team winning the cup as the, on the management side, because he's an assistant general manager with Lou Lamoriello there. But Edmonton connection. So I'm gonna pick Islanders in seven. A little bias there, but Brody, you.
Oh, I don't think Tampa can be stopped, but I'm still gonna go Islanders in seven.
No, I'm gonna go Tampa Bay in six.
Six, okay.
Because I
you're
think
probably right, Clay.
Here's why I think better? Patty Maroon is a big back, part of that to hockey
back,
club
to back,
and they're going for the trick.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, so be, yeah, I'm gonna go good. Tampa Bay in six.
Okay. And then Montreal versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Dandy?
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, I don't like Montreal. I'll go, and it's strictly off spite. It's Vegas in four.
Vegas in four.
It'll be Vegas in five. But
okay. I go Golden Knights in six. Brody?
I agree with you, Mr. Bosco. Yeah. I'll take Golden Knights in six. But you know what? I will be cheering for Montreal.
Okay. Yeah, why? A little bit of it. Just the Canadian.
I just like too. The underdog. I like cheering for the underdog. Oh. It's easier. It's more fun.
Yeah, it is. That would be interesting. So NHL news and notes. Kurt Muller, assistant coach with Daryl Sutter, the Calgary Flames. The Calgary Flames announced that today that Kurt Muller will be joining the Calgary Flames coaching staff.
Oh, really?
Yes. So that broke this afternoon. And they promoted their AHL coach to, I can't find that. I know his name's Cal. I can't remember the last name, so I apologize. But so I had it written down here, and I wrote Cal, but I didn't read the last name. So I apologize to our listeners for that. But
Cal, congrats. Kale McLean.
Kale. Or is it Kale? So not even Cal.
Kale McLean.
Okay, there we go. So, and then, yeah, we'll get to that one too. So, but yeah, quick thoughts on Calgary Flames adding Kurt Muller and McLean there to the coaching staff.
So what was Muller doing after Montreal?
Nothing. He was just hanging out at home and relaxing and looking for a job. And, you know, I've seen tonight that Pierre LeBrun thinks that Kurt Muller will be the Flames head coach in 3 years. So he kind of tweeted
out. Really?
He thinks that he'll come in, and after Sutter's done in 2 years, he'll be the next guy in line. So, Brody, thoughts on this hire for the Calgary Flames?
Well, I didn't know about it until 12 seconds ago, so it surprises me based on the fact that he's only ever had one job. And
he bounced between the St. Louis Blues and the Montreal Canadiens.
He's put in his time then.
Yeah.
So this is third time, yeah.
Yeah.
And he would have he would know what he's doing. Obviously, Remember his daughter's sick sauce pass in college about 2 months ago? Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved watching him play. He'll bring that kind of Sutter-like hard work, right? He'll beat you up, a fight in the alley type of play, but also he's skilled enough that he would know to teach guys when to pass, where to go, those type of things. So it seems like a good signing to me.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy to me. I mean, it's
an assistant coach that could probably help out, their power play. That has not been that good the last couple of years. So, Dandy, your thoughts?
Did he apply for this? Or did they must have reached out to him?
They would have reached out and had.
What's his connection to Sutter?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not too sure what the
connection is. I don't know. That's out of left
field. Someone might know that what it is, and if they can, they could tweet at us. And
yeah, that's crazy. No, that's dynamite. Because, I mean, I was shocked. That whole staff got let go of Montreal, but good.
Yeah. So that was other news. Mark Scheifele had some comments yesterday. That was also
good for him.
Another shot at NHL player safety.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So Vandy, you just kind of touched on it. Good for him. We'll get to you first.
Good on him. Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, 100%. Speak your mind. You know, it shows that he cares for his team. He wanted to be in. He got fucking shafted, you guys. I don't give a shit what anybody says. He got shafted. I mean, there were worse hits. I think Richie did one a couple games ago with Boston.
Yeah.
Where legit his elbow came and knocked the Islander player. Like, come on. Shifley. It was the awkwardness of the way Evans fell. And look, it's unfortunate Evans got hurt, but no. Like, good for Shifley. That, to me, that he wants to win, and he knew he been in the lineup, that series probably would have been a hell of a lot different.
Yeah. Brody?
Kind of 50-50 on this. I agree that the suspension was a lot much in my opinion. I didn't think he'd, like, of course they say he traveled a long distance. Well, of course he did. He was back checking. What the hell is he supposed to do? But
and he kind of said that too. He's like, what do I just give up on my teammates?
Yeah, I know. Like,
it's a one goal game, right?
So. Yeah, of course he's back checking. That's his job. But yes, the suspension was a little long. I didn't think it was really a penalty, to be honest, until I read Drager's tweet on what the call of a charge. So he did travel a long distance. That's in the verbiage.
Yeah.
But I just don't like the way he went about it. There's no, to me, he did it to himself. He did that action, and the league suspended him. So he put himself in that situation where he was deemed to be suspended. So he did that to himself. And I don't like that he went out and criticizes the league based on that. Like, the league suspended him because of his actions. I do agree that four games is too much, man.
Yeah, but that's what he was criticizing. He's criticizing the inconsistency of this shit. Nick Richie gets fined for that elbow.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the shit that you should
be out of the game. Yeah.
One, a fine. Come on, man. We're playing for the Stanley Cup playoffs. The guy's doing a Mickey Mouse wraparound, and he's half-assing it. Fuck.
Yeah, like, I should have awareness too. Like, you're coming around the net, you should know
100%. You know damn well that somebody's coming. Bury your shoulder and then put it in.
Yeah.
What was Nick Ritchie's? Was that the one where the guy was on the ground?
Yeah, and he winged it.
His elbow. Yeah, that was
and he gets a fine.
Yeah.
Like, come on, it's the inconsistency that he called out, and it's complete nonsense.
Yeah,
and he's never done that. He's not like he has a record.
No,
that's his first time.
He's not. Yeah, he's not the type of player.
No.
Yeah.
No, exactly. It's interesting they picked him on, and that's an 8-game suspension in a regular season. You know, so
it's a Montreal conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. got a few of them. So interesting with the fans, and the other Canadian teams can't have that. But whatever, that's a topic for another day. I didn't like that, but you know it. You know, I think across the board it should be the same, but I understand every
jurisdiction. Say that again. What?
Well, I just don't like. I think it's a small thing, and I'm a Leaf fan. I'm biased to it, but I think Game 6, Leafs versus Habs, was a huge difference. They had the fans. You know, 2,500 fans probably felt like, you know, 18,000 fans. And
why is that? You
know, it's just weird in Quebec. Yeah. In Quebec, you're on a lockdown and all this, and then all of a sudden, boom, like, okay,
lockdown. Yeah, they had curfew.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's 2,500 fans in the game. Thinking,
yeah, it's just crazy.
And how about the Toronto CN Tower with
that's a good troll draw. That's a good WWE heel turn kind of thing. I thought that was a good tongue in cheek. I had a good laugh at that.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was good.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, Bruce Cassidy fined $25,000 for his comments for the New York Saints and criticizing the officials in the NHL. Brody, you know, thoughts on this? We've seen it in the past. Tortorella's done it. You know, Boston fans, they're crazy, and I find it interesting. You know, Ryan Whitney is like, he hates Islanders fans. So, you know, it's like me hating the Oilers fans, but whatever. I think it's hilarious. He's going off on Twitter tonight, but. You know, thoughts on the big fine there, and you know, do you think it was warranted for his comments?
It is warranted just because the NHL has constantly said that you can't do that. So if you can't do that, obviously it's warranted. But as a fan, I wish more guys and coaches and GMs and players would do it, because makes for good TV, makes for good entertainment, makes me want to watch.
Yeah.
But He did deserve it based on his actions and what the league has deemed appropriate. So
what did he do? What happened?
Bosco, do you have a quote or do you want to
say we're a hockey podcast? I have no idea. I apologize.
Basically said the Islanders are the New York Saints.
Yeah, he's like they walk around like the New York Saints. He understands that you know, like he just didn't like that he's like the calls that are getting called on us aren't getting called on them and they're doing the same things, but we're not. Oh, okay. And then you know, he was upset that, you know, Barry Trotz kind of took a shot at Bergeron because three times in that game, Bergeron got kicked out of the faceoff circle. So he's like, how about you show Bergeron some more respect? This guy's, you know, been a consummate pro for the last, you know, 10 years in the league. Plus he's up for Selke 10 years in a row. And
okay,
he just, you know, thought it was more warranted. And he's like, hey, you know what? Sometimes I'm off and sometimes players are off. And he's like, tonight I thought the referees were off. So it's pretty much what it was. He's like, I like those refs. They're good guys, but I just didn't agree with it. And, you know, so interesting to note, the Islanders were the least penalized team in the NHL this year. So, you know,
Barry Trotz.
Yeah. So, and Barry Trotz kind of made that comment back. He's like, I don't know what he means by New York Saints. We're the least penalized team this year. So it's, you know, obviously that's going to transition. And then the ultimate troll job in that next game, game six, the Islanders take back-to-back penalties and the fans at the Nassau.
New York Saints. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, so just a good chirp. I just found that hilarious. But I love seeing the Bruins lose, like as much as Bruin fans like seeing the Leafs lose. So I'm more happy. But it's I just find it interesting. You know, it comes down to that. But, you know, Vandy, your thoughts?
Well,
I do think it's good for the game. I agree with that. You know, because we can't sit here and say we want these guys are cliche. They say this, they say that.
But they're really boring.
When they give us something, we can't criticize it. They give us something. Once in a while, I think it's worth the $25,000. You know, Brendan Moore's been down the same road too, and you know these coaches, and that's heat of the moment too. And you know,
you got to stick up for your teammates, and look, we're in the playoffs. You got to find an edge, and. You know, you got to do whatever it takes to get that next
thing,
you know, if you can get somebody off their game or get them talking about something other than your team. Yeah.
So big news today, obviously the Hart Trophy nominations come out. Connor McDavid is up, Nathan MacKinnon and Austin Matthews. I don't think there's much of the discussion here. I think it's a pretty much no-brainer. McDavid will walk away with this, and I'd be surprised if it's if it's not across the board 100% with the votes. I'd be very surprised, but I think it's pretty clear. You know, 105 point season. You know, 50 got to 100 points in 53 games. I think a lot says that, you know, every year this guy just gets better and better. So, you know, it'd be surprised if anyone else wins. But, you know, Broads, any thoughts on this?
How many voters are there, do you know?
I think there's over like 47, I believe.
And when does 2 months get their credentials to vote?
We'll be full board next year. Just let everyone know on that stuff. We'll be involved in some of these things next year because our credentials will be full board. And so that's some news that we had past, you know, we kind of talked about before, but yeah, our credentials and all that. Look to our accounts here. We're going to have some news on our accounts for stuff like that. But Broads, pick up what you're saying there. Sorry.
I think the votes will be 46-1. And that one negative guy will be the guy in Pittsburgh. Russo was saying Crosby should do it.
Yeah.
Because he's in the matter, whatever. But it'll be an absolute landslide. And, it's not even close. And I think it'll be like that for probably the next 3, 4, 5 years. I bet he wins it.
Yeah.
70, 80, 90%
of the time. He'll probably sprinkle in someone else.
Have a random great year. He'll get injured or something.
It'll be MacKinnon, McDavid, and then they'll throw in like Marner, Matthews just to appease the Leafs.
The fans out east.
Gallagher, maybe.
If TSN gets a vote, it might be 45-2 then, Boston.
Yeah, exactly. I think those guys are pretty good. You know, the radio guys. So the guys on the national side. But Vandy, quick thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, how do you, he had a year of nobody thought. I mean, we kind of not we predicted he'd have a good year, but 56 games or 53 games, 105 points, like insane. He basically, you know, it's but
gross.
I don't know. It is disgusting.
Yeah, what did he have in that one stretch in 13 games? He had like what, 35 points? Unreal. So,
but I keep every time I talk about it, I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and I'm just like, what the fuck happened in the playoffs?
No depth
is what happened. You know what? You know what it was? If we go back to that really quick, at the beginning of the year, we discussed what was wrong with the Oilers. Their back end, they had one good defenseman and a bunch of dudes, and they had no depth up front. And you look to the playoff game, they had – the coach was like, I can only afford – I can only play four defensemen. I can only play 9-4. That's all I got. Yeah.
Well, look at an overtime. That's all that played, right?
He couldn't even – literally, he's like, I can't play you. I can't play you. I can't play you, and I can't play you. So that – what came to – well, it bit them in the ass. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
They're going to have to deal with that.
Exactly, and it'll be an interesting offseason. We touched on that with Bob Stauffer, who's coming up shortly. So, yeah, no, I just found that, you know, I think across the board it will be. This one I'm a bit surprised at. The Norris Trophy votings came out. They're the candidates. They're the three. So you got Adam Fox from the New York Rangers, Cale Makar from the Colorado Avalanche, and Victor Hedman from the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, Vandy, you know, thoughts, are you shocked that Nurse didn't get into this mix, you know?
Well, like in the mix, was he even, how far?
We'll find out.
Who's Adam Fox? I don't know. I didn't see.
So he got drafted by the Calgary Flames, didn't want to sign with the Calgary Flames. So he got traded in the Dougie Hamilton trade, and then he didn't want to sign in Carolina. So he just signed as a college free agent.
And now he's just first year Norris Trophy. Like, yeah.
Well, he played last year, man. He played
last year. Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, he played last year.
Lighting it up.
Yeah. But, yeah, just another good, you know, friend of the podcast, brother, Craig Button, who's been on the podcast. His brother, Todd Button, you know, has been scouting this kid for a long time. But, you know, and as those kids in college, they have that year. They don't need to. They don't sign after it's the three or four years.
I get it.
They can opt out like the Justin Schultz thing, right? So, you know. Then,
I would think Nurse was four.
No. And that, we'll find that out when the NHL –
yeah, when the winner is, I would think Nurse was probably
shocked,
right there.
Are you shocked, Mike, more or less, are you shocked that Nurse didn't get in the top three?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I am for
no,
sure.
No, one good year, you know, doesn't make you a Norris candidate.
Yeah.
It was for Adam Fox. He's second in points behind. That's
why
Tyson
I was
Berry
asking.
Points.
Yeah, Cale Makar is the only defenseman this year.
Then why isn't Tyson Berry in top?
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Yeah,
but I shouldn't say that because I never ever watched Adam Fox.
He's good. He really really good. But yeah, I just found it it a bit interesting.
Hedman's winning it. No.
Yeah, Hedman's winning.
Yeah, he's winning. He got injured towards the end of the year, and that's the only thing I don't know if it'll go against him. You know,
he's the best.
Yeah, but you know, full Victor
fucking
Hedman.
Cale Makar is still on entry level.
He was the only defenseman. Well, after not this year, next year he'll have to get a deal. But he just this year is entry level. But
and that motherfucker's gonna get paid.
He's gonna get
paid.
Oh my
god!
Yeah, he's gonna get paid.
How are they gonna afford that down there?
Yeah.
Well, they still have. The thing is, they're all their top players are under $6 million or under $7.
Yeah,
right?
Like so, McKinnon came out and said,
"Yeah,
he'll take a discount if it means me winning a cup here."
Yeah.
How many more years does he have? Because he only makes five something only, but
I think he's got 3 years left, I believe. So
he's still good.
I can.
Rantanen's the highest paid player on that team.
Yeah, I'll look that up here as we go on. So. Talk about signings, Brody, thoughts on the Devin Shore signing?
I like it, to be honest. He's cheap as far as NHL goes. I wish I would make his salary. I wish somebody would say my salary was 800 grand. It was cheap, but or 800, whatever it is. I think he spoke volumes in the playoffs when it mattered. He's a very serviceable player. He could play power play, penalty kill, third line, fourth line. If he's your 13th forward, so be it. He can take faceoffs. He can play wing. seems he's young enough, right? He's not even, he's 27 or something, 26, 27.
Yeah.
And the fact, it pisses me off, I get on Twitter and fucking loser Twitter analytics fans saying he's the worst signing in basically in the history of the Oilers. I'm like, let's, for one, like, let's pick and choose here, guys. Like, we're really going to fight over a minimum wage NHLer. Like, we should have had this guy. Like, fuck off. Like, and if your analytics tell you that he's a terrible NHL hockey player, from what I watched in the playoffs, then your analytics suck.
Listen, what was that list? Give me that list of names.
Okay. Yeah,
hold on just one second. So I correct myself. I was wrong. So obviously, you're right there. Ratnan, he's a 9.25 cap hit. So I thought the only cheapest guy I had was under 7. So I was wrong there. And McKinnon has 2 years after this year. So, and then Landeskog is the UFA. Brandon Saad is the UFA. And then that Carl Soderberg, Pierre Edouard Belmart, UFA, and then Kale McCarr is an RFA, and then Connor Timmins RFA. So they're still pretty good on the back end. And then yeah, Grubauer and Devin Dubnyk are, so all their goaltenders are pretty much up at the end of the year. So okay. that's where that stands there, but. Go back to, yeah, you had a list there. We kind of talked about it before we jumped on the podcast.
List here, give me this list of worst.
The list is worst possession stats for Oiler forward since 2007. Oh my God. And it's CF percentage. So Corsi 4, Corsi something. Is that what that means?
I don't know.
Yep, you're right.
Luke Gadzik is the worst Oiler in the 2013-14 at 36.2%. Then Zach Sortini 2008-2009. And Fernando Pizzani at 2009-2010, and Leonard Petrell, 2011-2012, then J.F. Jacques, then Ethan Morrow, and then Devin Shore at 39.9% CF percentage. So, you know what? The one I was talking to Rupper about this today. One, these guys have the one, these stats are clearly, if that's what they say about Devin Shore, that's what, like you were saying before we came on here. That's what the Oilers were missing was Ethan Morrow, was Fernando Pizzani.
Yeah.
Like grit, right? They needed somebody with maybe the chance of even scoring a goal here and there. Like
banging in. Exactly. Heavy bodies. Exactly what they're missing. Can skate,
smart. But Rupper said it best. He's like, you know what these effing losers are? He's like, not only do they keep these stats, then they went and took these stats and filtered it by each year with the Oilers. Then they put it into an Excel spreadsheet, and then they put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just.
That's something.
It's like paid. A lot of work for a Devin Shore.
An Excel spreadsheet isn't going to win you a Stanley Cup.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm not, again, I'm not super, and I'm in, it's, I think it's a tool that can be used, but it's obviously not the end all be all. And I think picking your battles is a little bit, maybe if it was over an $8 million player where he was a first line player, we thought he was a third line player, or there's this big controversy.
100%.
He's a dude you're going to play. He's going to play in a good year, maybe 55 games.
Yeah.
Next year.
Listen, and who, and Stauffer talks about it in the pocket. Who did the coaching staff trust in overtime? Game 4, hopefully, you know, wish it was game 7, but who did he trust? Who played the most in the overtimes?
In the bottom nine there.
Yeah, like, come on. Or the bottom six, I mean, sorry. He's a thick body. He's a heavy body. It wasn't Jujar. You know, Nuge probably got his ice time too. We're too light, guys. Yeah. You oil fans, we're too light. You know, they got knocked around by Pion.
Morrissey.
DeMello. I mean, these guys aren't big.
They're not huge men.
No. Yeah. I mean, like they got we got to get heavier. And I don't mean Ryan Reeves. I don't mean like bring Smekel out of, you know, from the grave. And then I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that, you know, if you will, Sidney Crosby build where you're knees to chest and it's straight, you're a block. And Cal Clutterbuck, the Gallaghers, the Cal Clutterbucks, the Casey Cizikas, yeah. those type of players. You look at Vegas. I mean, they're tall and whatever, but
Keegan Colasar.
We need to get like these guys coming out of nowhere.
Yeah,
we need
to. You're talking about simplifying. William
Carrier. Yeah.
I like William Carrier a lot, by the way.
Yeah,
you're talking about chipping a puck in the corner and getting it, and then cycling it, and then going over high and then getting to the net.
Yep.
Like not skill.
Yeah.
Just mean, physical, strong, and will.
Yeah.
Up to, I don't know. I don't fuck their analytics bullshit. It's good. It's good on, you know, like if you're doing, to me, power play or penalty kill or, you know, face off wins, that kind of thing. I don't know. To me, I don't know. At the end of the day, you need that meat and potato guys. And I won't stop saying it. You need, because we're watching it. Now,
Look at Montreal Canadiens.
Look at the Islanders.
Who's on their fourth line? Yeah, Eric Staal, Corey Perry, and who's there? Armia.
This is Corey Perry and MVP.
Yeah, Joel Armia. Yeah.
In the league.
Big, strong. Right?
Yeah.
You got Paul Byron's not that big, but you know, strong.
Plays hard.
Strong on sticks.
Zach Hyman type player.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, well, we'll finish up on that, and we'll send it to our interview with Bob Stauffer. We hope everyone enjoys that, and we'll be back next Monday with a new episode of the 2 Mutts Podcast. This interview is brought to you by FreeBars.ca. FreeBars is arguably the best-tasting allergy-safe energy bar. Check out FreeBars and experience allergy freedom when traveling the wild. Go to freebars.ca and use the promo code 2MUTTS at checkout and get 20% off your order. If you have any questions and want to learn more about Free Bars, email luke@freebars.ca. Free Bar is peanut-free, nut-free, dairy-free, egg-free, soy-free, gluten-free. 5 grams of protein in every serving. Go to freebars.ca and use the promo code 2MUTTS at checkout to get 20% off your order. Tell them that the 2MUTTS podcast sent you.
When you hire a contractor, you want things to go smooth.
Smooth as a driveway poured by Pete's Concrete.
You want a solid guarantee.
Solid as a basement floor by Pete's Concrete.
You want Pete.
Pete's Concrete. For sidewalks, patios, your leaky basement, Pete lays his reputation down with every job, and he offers you finishes and colors you won't find anywhere else.
You want someone who proudly puts their name on the work they do.
Pete puts his name in concrete.
Pete's Concrete.
Welcome back to the 2 Mutts Podcast, presented by FreeBars.ca. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. I'm with Clay Vanderham. We have a very special guest tonight with us. We have Bob Stauffer from the Edmonton Oilers Radio Network. Stauff, how's it going?
Good, Josh and Clay. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
I'm dandy. Yeah, little panic today.
Why is that?
Everything's opening up, and not everything, but kids hockey, kids sports.
Oh, that's great.
Opening up. Yeah, it's good news. Good news.
We got it. We're on stage 2 tomorrow, and we got to get to 70% people having their first shot. We're at 67.2%. Last couple of days, we've only improved by about 0.3%. And once we get to that 70% total, and they need 10 days clearance with hospitalizations below 500, we're about 325 right now, and then we could really open up. So it's going to be intriguing to see, you know. Now that said, the municipalities still have to change mask bylaws and things like that, but we'll be really interested to see how, you know, if the province truly is fully open by July.
It'll be well good needed news. For good everyone. Stuff. So I guess jump into some other stuff real quick, and we'll do some go around the NHL, but obviously the big news today, you guys re-signed Shore, 2-year deal at $850,000, I believe. So quick thoughts on that stuff. And obviously, you were very high on bringing Shore here when he came as a PTO.
Yeah, I don't worry as much about the analytics for bottom six players, and I'll tell you why. You know, and the analytics community at Edmonton is a that follows the Oilers are really plugged in, and some of them are from outside, and they certainly know their stuff and they're engaged. Devin Shore spent a lot of the season getting defensive zone starts, not necessarily playing with some of the Oilers' best players. So when you look at his goal share, it's not a sexy total. It's going to be a negative. But the reality is the guy can play as a fourth line left wing. He can probably play as a backup center. He can kill penalties. And I think we knew once Dave Tippett, obviously the playoff series didn't go the way anybody wanted against Winnipeg, but once they got into that triple overtime game, Devin Shore was a regular, he was one of the nine forwards that played. And to me, that was a sign that there was going to be an opportunity for Shore to resign. So he gets a 2-year term. The money, anything below 900K is nothing. So it's a pretty low risk play. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit surprised at some of the amount of venom that was directed on what ultimately is going to be a 12th or 13th forward for the Edmonton Oilers. Like, if he's consistently, Josh and Clay, if he's consistently in the top nine, that's probably not a good sign for the Oilers. But if fourth line, he can play all three forward positions. He can kill penalties. How does he hurt you? So made sense to me.
Yeah, no, exactly. Same here.
People were upset about the signing.
Yeah.
They people were upset about that.
Oh yeah. Certainly on the,
I say that I'm not on Twitter. As much. So.
Like, I know, like, we're talking about a depth forward. I don't know what they think you get for $850,000 on a 2-year term. I mean,
but were they watching the? You got to watch that last game. Just that last game alone.
Who did the coach trust for three overtime periods?
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know what? He had in terms of goal share, he was minus this year. Well, the Oilers are a team where if you're with McDavid and Draisaitl this season, you're a plus. And if you're not, you're probably going to be a minus right now. So Edmonton's got a lot of work to do in the offseason. They finally have some cap flexibility to do the work. Let's not BS anybody here. The team didn't accomplish what anybody was hoping for in terms of a playoff run. They weren't the only team to go out. I'm not sure if Joshua has gotten over the Leafs loss yet. I'm stunned.
Definitely not.
And I actually like Montreal I like Montreal all season long. But I thought Toronto, I just thought the Canadians were too banged up coming out with injuries. Price wasn't at 100%. Gallagher, who's the lifeblood of them up front, he wasn't up at 100%. Clearly, Shea Weber's not at 100%. Toronto had a deep team. They had some experience. They're up 3-1, and I'm stunned they couldn't close them out. In the Oilers' case, I think the 4-0 sweep is completely misleading. And isn't it ironic what happened to Winnipeg in turn? They lose DeMello, a shift into the series against Montreal. Scheifele takes himself out of the series. Hellebuck gets outplayed by Price. And that Montreal-Winnipeg series wasn't close. Edmonton-Winnipeg was. So you guys know hockey. You know how quickly momentum can swing. You lose a couple bodies, it changes everything. And so now we're sitting here talking about Oilers' offseason plans instead of, maybe game 5, 6, or 7 of what could have been a second-round series.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get into the Leafs there too. But to stick with the Oilers, their offseason, the cap that they have going on, how soon do you think we see an Adam Larson resigning here? It definitely seems like it's probably in the cards, and we'll ask you about Nuge after that. But what Larson brings, the year he's had, and what do you see the signing shaking down?
Well, at the end of the day, you still need guys that can down on the cycle in the defensive zone, and that's what Larson could do. He's not an elite puck mover, but he's a hard, tenacious player. And once again, the head coach refers to Adam Larson as part of the leadership core of the team with McDavid, Draisaitl, Nurse, and Nugent Hopkins. We'll get to Nugent in a second. My expectation is Larson gets done sometime over the next 3 weeks. And people would say, well, why would you sign him before the expansion draft? And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't and you leave him out there, then Seattle's sitting there putting a call in on – the moment they see the expansion list, realizing that Adam Larson hasn't been protected. And once he becomes a free agent, maybe they go a million and don't think that there's not a call that takes place before. Hey, why is this thing not done yet? Well, we'd pay you $5 million million dollars a year for 3 years instead of four times four, maybe Larson. So that's why you got to get it done, because he is a valuable player. He is a useful player. To me, I would be shocked that was not a consummated deal within the next 3 weeks. It's just too good of a fit, and it would allow the Oilers to go bear Larson and Bouchard on the right side.
Yeah.
When is that list supposed to be in?
On the 17th July.
So it makes sense.
The expansion draft is on the 21st. The NHL draft is on the 23rd, 24th. Round one, 23rd. Round two through seven on the 24th. And then free agency starts on the 28th, Clay. So there's your rundown. That's why you have a three. I'm giving it a three week buffer here. Like, I expect it done before July 1st, frankly.
Yeah, I would see that. That would probably be makes a lot of sense for sure. So, Vandy, I'll throw to you. You can go on to the Nuge topic there, and then any other questions you have for Stoff, go ahead.
Where do you think here's what I think, and then you agree. I think Nuge will test free agency. That's my opinion. I don't see why. Okay. I think eventually comes back here, but
what would you two guys pay him? So I'm going to give you a stat. So since March of 2020, for players that were going to start in their UFA years, four guys got contracts north of $4 million per year or $4 million a year or more. Four guys got contracts with at least 3 years in term. So Gallagher re-signed in Montreal, 6 years at $6.5 million, and that deal disappeared and then got salvaged. Okay. Ottawa signed Dadonoff, 3 years, $5 million. The Canadians signed Toffoli, 4 years at $4.25 million. And Jim Benning's been getting eviscerated in the Vancouver market for not getting that deal consummated with Toffoli. Toffoli had 28 goals this season. And then Alex Iafallo signed a 4-year deal with LA at $4 million, an extension. So all those guys, the first year of that deal is in a UFA year. Like, the Canadians went and got Anderson and gave him a 7-year deal at $5.5 million, but the first year was an RFA year. And then the final six were UFA years. So there's only actually been four contracts signed for guys that were UFAs that went to other organizations. Yeah. So on that note, Clay, I'm going to start with you. What do you think Nugent Hopkins is worth on, say, a 5 or 6 year extension?
Well, I got to admit, I wasn't a fan of his play in the playoffs. I think he's part. But to answer your question, I don't know. You're going to have to pay him more than he's going to want to raise. No. Like, he's going to want more than six.
Players tend to want raises. I mean, the one guy that didn't was Eberle.
Yeah.
Eberle took 5.5 times 5 years to re-sign with the Islanders after getting 6 times 6 with Edmonton.
And that's where I was going to go. I was going to say I can see Nuge probably doing that. I know you and I've had these conversations and whatnot, and, you know, just banter back and forth and, you know, about, you know, Nuge and even Hyman and stuff. But I do see that, in my opinion, I the more and more I think about it, the more or less I'd be surprised if he leaves. It seems like the family him and his wife and the community, he's done a lot of community work here too, I think, you know, and the team, you know.
But is he going to take a pay cut to stay here?
I think yes, he does.
I don't know I don't know the player. I don't know. Like, I don't want to think that, you know, he's a bad, that's not what I'm saying. If I was him in his shoes and the way, you know, his pedigree, and I would test. He's not going to be the number one guy here. Never for a while, you know, ever, you know, with Leon and Connor here, why not go to, or test it at the very least. Edmonton, I think if you're paying over 6-7 for him, I don't know how many years, what the term is. I've publicly said I'm not the salary guy. I don't know any of that nonsense, but I could tell you, I think Edmonton either needs to make him a solidified third line guy, center, or we need to move on.
And, really?
Because I think we need to get heavier.
So here's what I think. Clay, I would say this. I know there's going to be interest in him in the market.
Yeah.
Columbus is dying for a guy that can play center. Seattle is going to be dying for offense. LA wants to add two top six forwards. I believe Anaheim could be a team that's looking to upgrade a bit. I'm going to be intrigued to what happens in goal in Anaheim with John Gibson.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of an appetite he has for that in terms of how, the last 2 years. He's been 904 and 903, but he's still a 917 career goalie. What's going on there? You know what I mean? So I believe that there's a sweet spot in the deal. I don't know, Josh, if you heard it on the show, but I said 6x6 to me is a sweet spot. That might work for the Nugent Hopkins camp, and it might be hard for the Oilers, but to me that pays him the same as he's making, and the term length is 6 more years. If he goes to Columbus, if he goes to Seattle, if he goes to Anaheim, he'd be the first line centers on those teams.
Arizona.
If he goes to LA, he's a second line center. Sorry, what was the other team?
Arizona. I don't know. Do they have the
well?
They've got the cap space. They've got a ton of expiring cap space because they got all those UFAs on the fence, so they could get him in. So I do think there'd be interest in him, and I think you're playing either him or Draisaitl as your second line center.
Yeah.
So he does give you options. I think it's only 50-50 that it gets done.
Okay. So the other conversation we had on our last podcast, so I'll ask you this because we had a good debate on it. Zach Kyman or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who would you rather have?
Who were you on with last time?
We didn't have a special guest. It was just us co-hosts kind of bantering back and forth. So.
Well, this guest isn't that special either, so let's establish that right now.
You're very special. Don't worry about that. We all know.
I got a lot of time for Hyman, okay? I like his drive. I like his grind. I like his relentlessness. For all of the criticism that Mike Babcock has endured from his time in Toronto, the one guy he clearly was right on was Zach Hyman. I don't think for a second that Zach Hyman is going to go the route of David Clarkson. Okay. He's a different type of player. He doesn't fight. You don't have to fight anymore. You know, yeah. Clarkson had the one terrific year for the Devils and parlayed that into a massively long contract. And it was going to be difficult to live up to that. Right. You know what I mean? And yeah. In Hyman's case, like I will tell you, if he comes to Edmonton and he's healthy, he'll score 25 goals a season here. Because he's going to be playing with either Connor or Leon, and he's relentless on the puck. He can play it. He too, like Nugent Hopkins, can play in every situation. He's a little, to me, he's a little, I mean, Clay, you talked about Nugent's lack of physicality. Hyman brings that. Like, he's on the puck. He's a dogged player. So I think he is also, guys, going to get minimum 6x6. Don't forget Detroit with Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
Okay. Played his college hockey at Michigan. And then there's the Leafs. Like, you know, we keep hearing the Leafs are keeping that top four forward group together. Well, if they're doing that, they can't afford to sign Hyman.
No.
So I would think somebody would offer him 6x6.
Yeah. I do think so too. I know he's at the age of 29 and his age is 29, but his body might say otherwise because what he's gone through and you know, a couple of bad knee injuries. But yeah, no, you make a good point. I have a hard time believing that they're at least going to let him go because how much he means to that team in that market. But, you know, money does talk at times and, you know, he deserves the pay raise from a $2.5 million cap hit that he's had for the last couple of years. So
who's better, Josh?
I've had this debate and I know that, you know, I got the guys in Toronto that I listen to that we joke about or you listen to and all that. And we have a good banter with the Leafs, the Eastern media. And we'll get to that on the classic year end trade McDavid route, but we'll definitely get to that.
I don't know the way I look at who's going to win you a Stanley Cup.
Well, I personally think Zach Hyman.
Who is going to help you win a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I say Zach Hyman all day long. I think he's way more valuable. I think there's a lot of tangibles that he brings, and I you know, Nuge is probably the little bit more flashier player, but I think we see it enough in the playoffs that, you know, these guys like Hyman do a great job. You know, like, you guys, that's just my opinion. I honestly think Zach Hyman is as good as advertised. And I know this is another debate, and this is a debate that happens on the radio station in Toronto. They think Zach Hyman is going to be a lock on the Olympic team this year.
I agree.
You agree?
I'm going to tell you. Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't think at this stage right now Nugent Hopkins is a lock.
Yeah.
But I think Hyman will be a lock in the same way that Chris Kunitz was a lock.
Yeah.
Now, people forget that Chris Kunitz in the 12-13 season was seventh in the league in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, he had a pretty good offense. Like, I'm telling you right now, Zach Hyman comes here.
25 goals all day long.
He's scoring 25 minimum in an 82. Because Edmonton's a different type of offense. Like, Toronto's got greater balance. But, I mean, would Hyman as a right shot, would he not Alex Chiasson potentially, or James Neal as a net front presence? I mean, he's unbelievable on puck retrieval in front of the goal.
Yeah.
He goes to the front of the net. He's a ballsy player. You're on that power. I mean, that's, to me, Josh, that's one of the big question marks in Toronto that they didn't talk about it in Toronto. Like, that power play, when they came in Edmonton in March and pounded the Oilers in those three straight games, that power play left as the number one power play in the NHL. What happened? Yeah. What happened? They finished seven.
And their whole team, the team went down. The record wasn't the best after that.
They hit, and that's part of what's so disappointing with Edmonton is for the last 49 games of the year,
They
went the other way. And then, you know, they didn't jump out early in game one. Winnipeg's an emotional team. The Oilers are not an emotional team. Winnipeg's an emotional team.
Yeah.
Maybe the Oilers need to become a more emotional team in the future.
Yeah.
But the Jets, I had somebody in the Oilers organization call me, and he said, after game one, and he said, we better win game two. Because they play on emotion, and sometimes it's good emotion, and sometimes it's bad. You know what? In the playoffs this year, the Jets had good emotion against Edmonton and very quickly got negative energy around their team halfway through game one of the game against Montreal.
Yeah.
They'd lost to Mello. Scheifele was pissed off in the third.
Wow. Period. Yeah.
Right. Right. And boom, I wonder if something got said to Scheifele during the intermission, or if there was, you know, you guys. And really, when you look at the Edmonton Winnipeg series, the Jets locked it down for two games. They didn't lock it down for game three and game four. Like the Oilers.
No, I mean, the Oil win game three in overtime. Was game three the overtime one?
Game two, three, and four, Clay went to overtime.
Yeah, they're up win by game three.
It's a different series. It's a different series if they win that game.
Yeah.
So, I Toronto to me was like, I just know Hyman, like, is Hyman is not on the first unit power play in Toronto this year, was he?
No, he wasn't. He was at times spotted on the second, but. Yeah, listen, typically
we're talking about Zach Hyman on the Canada Olympic team.
Yes, I'm serious.
Come on,
about
you guys.
Oh, no, dude, I'm telling you right now, he's in the mix.
He is. I agree.
In the mix. I can agree with that.
But so I say he's like a lock, actually. My thing is,
I would say he's pretty close to a lock as well.
Yeah.
He can play both wing positions. They're going to have a bunch of centers. He does the dirt, he goes to the paint. He can skate, he's relentless on the puck. Mike Babcock loved him. Who coached Canada in the last two Olympics with NHL players?
Babcock, yeah.
Mike Babcock. This was the one. For all the criticism that Babcock got on Mitch Marner,
this was
the guy he was right on. Yeah. He was right on
that. And to credit where it's due, you might have been the first one to say about Hyman being the lock on Team Canada. I think some other guys picked up on it. I do kind of think back. You might have been the first guy that kind of brought it up. And I think you brought it up with Brian Lawton on your show.
Josh, he's coming off an injury. So he didn't kill it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? That's a pretty hard injury to come off, especially for his – it's just his – like, I like guys that have relentless drive in everything that they do. Doesn't matter if you're a broadcaster, a lawyer, a doctor, right, a bartender. You know, keep filling my drink up. Don't ask me to stop, right? Keep it coming.
Yeah.
And you know what? As players, I like that – That's why I'm not going to bet against the Oilers long term, because of McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nurse. Yeah. I know how hard those three guys work. And it's going to affect all the young guys that come after them. Bouchard, Yamamoto, Puljujärvi. I mean, Puljujärvi's already improved so much people can't even believe it. Like, he didn't even resemble the player that left before. And it's going to affect McLeod and Broberg in the future. Yeah. Like, when you have guys that worked, and so, and Hyman has some of the same characteristics in terms of his work rate.
Yeah. So what do you think happens with the last one on me on the Oilers? What do you think happens with, you know, Koskinen, James Neal? Do you, you know, what happens there? Do you see this? I know it might be a tough question, but yeah. Do you see them coming back?
Well, you know, it's a responsibility incumbent on a manager to make difficult decisions at a time.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, in goal, Mike Smith's probably coming back. I don't know if you can come back with Smith and Koskinen. I think Koskinen can play in the league.
Yeah.
It just, you know what? He's done his 2 years here. We'll see. On James Neal, I think we have to be pragmatic. You know, is there, he can offload him somewhere else, give him another opportunity? Do you have to give up to make that happen? Or is there another mechanism in place that can create some more cap space for you in the short term? And I think you have to explore those sort of conversations internally as an organization.
Yeah. All right, transition to over the Leafs. Very shocking, very disappointing, upset. I think watching Sheldon Keefe's press conference, he is probably still in shock today, a week later, or a week more.
Are you still in shock?
I am. Especially after watching what Montreal did to Winnipeg. I'm in his shock, and it just kind of really sets home the opportunity the Leafs really had that they really squandered away here. And, you know, I personally think, you know, they've learned lessons along the way, and then Kyle Dubas went out of his way to do the right things and adding the right pieces and adding the right puzzles, which I thought were the right pieces and puzzles to do. But again, those guys, besides probably Spezza, didn't really shine in the playoffs. Joe Thornton wasn't the same player that he was. I know the last 10 games of the regular season, he had like 9 or 10 points, you know, but, you know, Wayne Simmonds wasn't the same after the injury that he had sustained with his wrist. When he came back, he just never was able to pick that back up. But, you know, I know you and I have talked at length about Justin Hall, and I think he played good, but I think losing Jake Muzzin was the biggest thing in that series.
Hey, what did Montreal, what happened to Montreal against Toronto, and then what happened to Montreal against Winnipeg? Think of the confluence of events. So Tavares gets hurt in the flukiest and scariest of situations 10 minutes in a game one.
Yeah.
Okay? They overcame, they didn't overcome it in that game, but they overcame it in the next three games and went up 3-1.
Yes, they did, yeah.
And then Muzzin got hurt early in game 6.
Yeah, very early.
And it was a different series from that point at that double whammy. So the clear advantage the Leafs had depth-wise up front was mitigated with the Tavares injury. He's still a hell of a player. And then Muzzin, the injuries the last 2 years. You know, we talked about this before. If Kadri, I mean, here we go again with Kadri in Colorado. But if Kadri doesn't take himself out of either of the two Boston series, we're not having this conversation about the Leafs not having win in a playoff series since Auston Matthews was 6. The
crazy
fact that the Montreal Canadiens, the Montreal Canadiens, Josh, in a span of 8 days, won more playoff series, won two playoff series in a span of 8 days,
yeah.
And the Maple Leafs haven't won a playoff series since I had one chin. You know, like that's, you know, like crazy. It's crazy when you think
hockey,
about it, right?
Yeah,
like,
hockey's crazy. There. Yeah.
Right? No, like agree. It's just.
Well, and it's funny when you mentioned Winnipeg being an emotional team, you know, you talk to people and they're just like, it's like they blew their wad on the oil, and they just, every game they had no emotion. They were not engaged whatsoever.
Edmonton early, like in game one, they needed, and I think the Oilers were hurt by not having fans. I think the fans help a team like Edmonton. Okay. I'm serious about this.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen it very well in this market, right? Like, obviously, I'm BC working, but I'm meaning the Edmonton market, it's on another level in the playoffs.
You know what? I was thinking of the Carolina series. You come back for game 3 down 2-0. I'll pick the Oilers up without Rollison. They won game 3. They lose game 4. Pisani scores in overtime in game 5. They come back, and the fans were just jacked. And the last minute and a half, NBC didn't even do play-by-play. They just wanted to, like, fans and people say, oh, stop, for every fan base. Oh, you know what? Not every fan base is like that. Fan bases that, like, you know what? The Islanders fan base, that's a fan. Buffalo, if Buffalo ever gets, like, I'm telling you guys, I travel around the league.
Yeah.
There's different markets. It means more in Winnipeg. It means more in Edmonton.
Well, look at Nashville taking, I mean.
But they don't have, they haven't had, like in Winnipeg's case, they've had the team taken away. In Buffalo's case, they've been lousy. When they get good again, they're going to appreciate it. We've gone through tough times in Edmonton, and our fans stuck by us every step of the way. But they come out in the playoffs, right? They're a different fan. In the regular season, they're like, entertain me, and we'll cheer for you. But come playoff, we are behind you, and we'll pick you up when you're getting, you know, when you got a fat lip and you're getting kicked in the teeth in the first period. We're going to help out, and that's what they do.
Yeah,
and they travel well too, right? Look at you saw it in those.
There are 1,500 fans in Carolina for Game 7.
Yeah,
and you had to buy season tickets. You had to put a down payment on season tickets. So all these Oilers fans put like $300 down and just walked on the $300 because so they could get tickets to Game 7. Bought them online, like that, you know.
They're like, kudos, good for you guys.
Yeah, you know, so but what I'm saying is Edmonton came out flat against Chicago and flat against Winnipeg. And I'm telling you, if there were fans in the building, that does not happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I fully expect the Oilers to compete against Vegas next year in the regular season for top spot in the Pacific Division. They were 3 points behind Vegas when we got shut down 2 years ago. Edmonton's going to have a deeper team.
Yeah,
than they've got right now. Vegas is not going to have, because of cap issues, as deep of a team. And Vancouver and Calgary, to me, on paper, aren't as good as Edmonton. At least they don't appear to be.
Yeah.
They both missed the playoffs this year. Anaheim and San Jose are in rebuilds. LA, we'll see how much they add. And there's Seattle, an expansion team. Like, I think the Oilers are actually in a tougher division this year than they're going to be next year. So, yeah. And I think Edmonton's going to have a deeper team next year than they have this year. So, for what it's worth, I mean, and they'll be playing regular opponents in the playoffs to start next year.
Yeah, exactly.
They might be playing Calgary.
Yeah.
How wild would that be?
That would be unreal. So, quick thoughts on the Leafs. Just real quick. What do you think happens? What do you think Kyle Dubas does in that market in this offseason? Here.
Well, don't they have a pretty good top four defense?
They do. That's one thing they got, you know, good. And it looks like Sandin has become a player now, and if he can stay healthy, but we'll see what happens. Question mark is goal, right? So,
I mean, why is it a question mark? Campbell's going to be their number one goalie.
Well, can he sustain what he did this year, next year? That's never a guarantee. That's the only question mark. You know,
he's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
You sign Riddick as the backup.
You give him $1 million and kind of go from there.
$1.5 million, they can afford it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing is, if Kerfoot gets claimed, there's the money they need to sign Hyman.
Yeah.
Now you're going from $2.5 to $6 million because Kerfoot's making $3.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. We'll see what happens there. So, Boston Islanders wrap up tonight. Are you shocked Boston lost in six? Stop.
Yes, but I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That's just, the Islanders are a well-coached, well-managed team. They have an identity. They're lunch pail. They're hard to play against. They're deeper than people think. Remember, they're doing this all without Anders Lee. Now, granted, they wouldn't have Paul Murray if they had Lee healthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I shouldn't underestimate them, but I have for the last two playoff years.
So what do you think happens with Lane Lambert here as a coach? Do you think he becomes
it's funny you mentioned that. I was just reaching out to somebody before we went on air. I think he's going to be in the mix in Arizona.
Okay.
Him and Barry have something. It would not that Lamoriello does not let his assistants talk about potential team jobs until their team seasons are done. And I wonder if that's part of the reason why there's a couple teams that are holding on before they make announcements. I think Arizona logic dictates they're going to hire first-time NHL head coach.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the Rangers are stone cold more to luck to come back with a veteran coach. And I think Columbus is going to come back with a veteran coach too.
Yeah.
I think Gallant's going to have his choice between New York and Columbus. And I could totally see Rick Tocchet going into Columbus.
Yeah. Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And Jake DeBrusque, a lot of rumors, you know, yeah. Our Jim Matheson brought up a good tweet the other day and about bringing DeBrusque home. But are you shocked at the year he had?
Yes.
Yeah. And what do you think happens there?
I think it depends on Taylor Hall.
Okay.
And Taylor had a real good opening round. And, I mean, there were just comments tonight from Cassidy talking about we didn't get the depth throughout the line. I mean, that perfection line did too. If I was Boston, I'd re-sign Taylor.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's – you know, if you're Taylor, do you go to – you know, what was Wayne Gretzky's line? Go to where the puck's going to be, not where the puck was.
Yeah.
Is Boston a was franchise, and is there a franchise out there with – a couple world-class centers that are a couple of best players in the world on a team that might need a left wing? I don't know. Can a guy come home again? I don't know. I mean, maybe there's already a deal in place. I'm glad, Clay, you picked up on that. Yes, put it this way. If he goes to free agency, I think the Oilers have to have that conversation with Aaron Ferris and Taylor's representatives. If I'm Boston, I get Taylor re-signed.
Yeah.
So I think Taylor's a pretty good player. And I think, you know, some of the stuff that some people have sort of inferred about him, I'm sorry, I saw a different player when he was around the team, a different guy. So, and I'll defer to a guy like Jason Strudwick, who's always spoken highly of what Taylor was like as a teammate. Yeah. Jason was actually in the room with the guy, as opposed to, you know, the amount of people that want to personally tweet me and say, I don't know a thing about anything. And, you know, oh, you can't win with this guy. You know, he was one of the greatest junior teams in history, and he was the best player on that team. So he's going to have a better year next year than he had this year. He had some things that were difficult to get through, but I think DeBrusque is tied to Taylor. If Taylor resigns at Boston, we can see Boston flipping Jake. And if Taylor doesn't resign in the work together on getting Jake to be a full-time second line left wing on that team. He scored 46 goals over the two previous years, 27 and 19 goals.
Yeah.
You know, you got a player there. You got to get the most out of him. That's part of coaching. It's a two-way street. It's not always on the player. 75% of it's on the player, but the other 25% is on the coach.
Correct. Yeah. And you said that several times. And then, you know, you hit on Kadri earlier there. Kadri kind of just, him again hurting Colorado here in this situation. Are you shocked?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm shocked he did it again.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked how Vegas has swung back. And you know what? I shouldn't be. I know how driven Kelly McCrimmon is. I know the environment they have in that organization, what they want to try to achieve. I think at some point, because they're an older team, they're going to run out of a little bit of steam there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But that series isn't over yet. Like,
no.
It could be tomorrow night, but it's not over yet. Don't write Colorado off yet. That's a pretty deep hockey club.
Yeah, no, it is. Definitely. It definitely is. Vandy, you have any other things you want to add?
Nope. I'm good. You guys, you guys hit on all of them.
Good luck with your coaching. Hopefully your kids overcome it.
They will. I guarantee you they will. No, good chat. I think Vegas, just to hit on Vegas a bit, and then even Toronto and you look at Montreal, I think you go back to those Stanley Cup winners as opposed to Stanley Cup experience, playoff experience. Yeah. I think that means a lot. And I think we're seeing it in the playoffs. Bob, I'm going to disagree with you there. I think Colorado is finally, Vegas has found a way to control that speed of Colorado and that.
Yeah. They boxed them out is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think Colorado's missed Eric Johnson on D, because I think the inexperience, you know,
they've missed Eric Johnson and Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, like, Eric Johnson only played 4 games this year, but you know, he's been a huge miss. And you say this a line a lot, because it's the Dale Talon line, you know, that what do you have? You don't know what you have in a defenseman until you hit, what is it, 300 games. And what is,
oh yeah, no, he's a hard nose.
Yeah.
He's a hard nose. And the Canadians, and why have they won Canada? Why have the Canadians won?
Yeah.
You talked about, Clay, you talked about the Stanley Cup champion. They bring in Joel Edmondson into their room.
Yeah.
won a Stanley Cup, was paired with Petrangelo in St. Louis.
They put Corey Perry, Tyler Toffoli.
Eric Staal.
There's a difference between Stanley Cup playoff experience and actually going to the end, and winning it and overcoming all that. And I think we're seeing that. And we're, you know, the playoffs are fast paced, hard nosed hockey, but it's patient. You got to be patient, and you can't, you know.
I'll tell you this right now. At the start of the year, in like 24th, 25th, a week into the season, a senior executive with the Oilers, who knows something about winning, said to me, and I quote, "Bob, the Canadians have a great goaltender who's won it in high-level situations, and their top four defense is the best playoff-built defense in the league. They are going, and now they have depth on the wings.
Yeah.
Their question mark is going to be at center. Well, they added Eric Staal at the deadline to bring in a veteran guy. But this guy specifically said to me, with Price and that top 4D, they are going to be a hard out in the playoffs if those guys stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that, you know what? Like,
who do they play next? Do they play either Colorado or Vegas?
Vegas or Colorado, whoever wins.
Yeah.
And Josh, I know you listen to the show, and I know all season long I had Montreal. I'm surprised Montreal came in fourth.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be – it was going to be Edmonton. I thought it was going to be Toronto, Edmonton, and Montreal, top three. And then Winnipeg made the trade to get Dubois, who didn't score in the final 24 games this season.
Crazy.
No show in the playoffs.
Right. Non-factor.
We'll see what happens tomorrow. Press conference of if he was hurt or something. I don't know if anything.
No. He said he was. He did it today. He did it today. Okay. He said, "I was not hurt. I was no more hurt than anybody else, and I did not play at the level that I expect myself to play at." He took total accountability for his playoffs.
On him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's a tough thing.
Yeah.
For him to do. Good for him.
Good point by you though, Clay, about those Stanley Cup winners. Because, you know, I look on the fence at Edmondson, but you forget Toffoli, you know, winning two of the Kings. I don't know how much he was involved in the first one because he was 47th overall in 2010. So was he up by 12 by the end of that 11-12 season? I have to look in the book. He was a big part of it in 14. He led the league in plus minus a couple of years ago.
It's just – it's the I think the stuff you learn as you go, right?
Yeah.
And look at Corey Perry.
Yeah.
Like he's rejuvenated.
It's crazy with Corey Perry. You think he's done. He was good for Dallas last year. So I'm just going to pull him up here with Toffoli. He was not with LA in the playoffs in 2000. He was still in junior, but he was on the 2014 team, scored seven goals. Had seven goals and they won the cup in 26 games, right?
And he's really good shorthanded too, right?
So
good, versatile player. So, all right.
Gents.
Okay, we'll finish
thanks,
up.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks so much.
Reach out anytime when you're stuck and can't get somebody better.
All right.
Yeah, boys.
Have a good summer, Bob.
If it's done right the first time, you don't have to redo it. If you get Pete's Concrete to pour your driveway, you don't need a repeat. When your patio is a PDO, you don't need a repeat. When Pete's Concrete fixes your sidewalk, all it takes is once. You don't need a repeat. And if your basement leaks, a Pete's Repair helps avoid a repeat. Get it done right the first time with the colors and textures you want so you don't have to redo it. For concrete, you can choose Pete's or repeats. Pete's Concrete.